I don't know about you, but when I come together on Sunday mornings to worship and I just feel God's presence and His goodness, and we sing songs like Blessed Assurance and this one, I'd just as soon worship a couple of hours instead of watching the clock so closely and signing off at a certain time. And I wish we had time today to just sing some of these songs again that we've just sung. And there's a beautiful song that I want to close with today too. But we're going to invite our Christian Motorcycle Association people to share a little bit with us too. And so we'll see where we get. I just hope that you've experienced the Spirit of God this morning already, because He's here. And I want to draw your attention again to the prayer focus and take a look there. There's a lot of names, and there could be a lot more. And I just want to encourage you, let's just go to the Lord for a minute or two in silent prayer. Maybe you take a name or two off that prayer list, or maybe something else is on your mind. Tragedies that have happened in central Minnesota in the last couple weeks or around the nation. But let's just go to the Lord and worship Him in silence just for a minute or two before we go any further. Let's pray. God, our Father, we just want to continue to worship and praise You and to give You thanks. Thank You for this beautiful morning. Thank You that we could come into Your presence like this to worship. Thank You for churches that are gathering in this town, but all over America. Thank You for the freedoms that we enjoy. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your Son. Thank You for Your Word, O God. Thank You for each person here. Thank You that You desire a relationship with us, a relationship that is so real, so personal, so transformational, that we, Your people, become salt and light, just like Jesus said. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for watching over us. Many have had a busy week. Some have had a very hard week. Highs and lows of life, Father. And yet You have been with us through every part of it. I pray this morning especially for those that are in care centers and in hospitals and just hurting and seemingly alone. Comfort them, Father, we pray. I pray for those that are at home seemingly alone. Father, help them to feel once again Your blessed presence. Help them to know the blessed assurance of Jesus the Christ. Help them to know they're not alone. You love them. Father, I just thank You for everybody that's here. Some of them probably aren't feeling that good either. Perhaps they're lonely. Perhaps they're hurting. Perhaps they're struggling with things that only You know. I pray that we would lay that all at the cross this morning and allow Your Spirit to minister to us. We've come to worship You, O God. I look forward to this morning's, all week I look forward to being able to worship You, Father, with these people, and I thank and praise You for that. And so I ask that You would guide us this morning by Your Spirit. Continue to guide us. Our thoughts, my words, may we praise and worship You. And as we look into this week, Lord, there's a lot happening. I pray for the National Day of Prayer, that millions of Americans would take time on Thursday to seek Your face on behalf of our nation and much more. I pray, O God, that as Saturday rolls around and we welcome Kevin Austin here, that people would come and gain a new insight, a new awareness of this whole scourge on America called trafficking and slavery. God, I pray that You would anoint Your servant, Kevin, when he's here with us Saturday and Sunday, and he would enlighten us and help us to understand what can we do in our own community right here. And so, Father, I just pray for this morning services, but I pray for this week. May Your will be done. May You be glorified. And God, again, I pray for the pastors and the servant leaders and priests all over this region. Anoint Your people, O God. May our voices, may our mouths be Your words. May we bring You glory. We've come to worship You. And so guide us here in this congregation, in this service, I pray in the precious name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I'm going to invite you to turn right to your Bibles in Matthew chapter 5. Those of you that have been with us at all the last couple of weeks know we are working our way into and eventually through the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus shared, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And so I want to go right there because I want to give time to our CMA people and I want to sing a song or two at the end also. And so Matthew 5, if you've got your Bible, you know where we were last week. We were looking at blessed are you and all those blessings, even when we're persecuted, even when we mourn. Jesus gave us all of that last week and we talked about that some. Now we get to Matthew 5 beginning at verse 13. Here we go. Let me say this. He's speaking to followers, people that are going to commit to follow Christ. And when we, brothers and sisters, you and I, our communities, put our faith completely in Jesus Christ, it's a brand new day. Amen? It's a brand new day. And if you haven't experienced that brand new day, I would encourage you, cry out to God, put your faith in Christ, surrender your own will to His, and allow His Spirit to come into you, wash you clean, and make you a brand new person, because that's what He will do. Now, Jesus says to those followers of His that at that time and to us today, He says very specifically two things here in these verses. The first one is, you, followers of mine, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. You, followers of Jesus Christ, this is not a denominational thing. This is people who have this personal relationship with God, who have surrendered our own wills to Jesus, have claimed Christ as Lord, repented of our sin, and said, I am going to follow you. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And then he said, vision it this way. A city that is set on a hill, you can't hide that. That's what my people should be like. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on that hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Then he says this to his church, his followers, people of God. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and they glorify your Father in heaven. Now, immediately after Jesus had just told the crowd that they should rejoice for being persecuted and along with a bunch of other things, blessed are you this and blessed are those, he now reminds his followers, our lives should stand out. Their lives, he said, should be noticeable. And he uses these two examples. Salt in their day was highly valuable. Did you realize the phrase come from, he's not worth his salt? Do you realize the background behind that phrase? You've heard that phrase, right? Have you not? Work with me here. You've heard the phrase, he's not worth his salt. In their time, oftentimes, Roman soldiers would actually get paid, not in cash, not in a denarius, not in some Roman coin, but in salt. You say, what in the world for? Salt was that valuable to preserve, to prevent decay. And so when Jesus starts talking about salt, it has this huge meaning to the people of the day. It does to us today, but maybe not as dramatic because salt was so necessary in their day without refrigeration. So necessary that some people got paid in salt. Thus the phrase, he's not even worth his salt. Well, salt is a preservative. Salt delays decay. Salt enhances. And Jesus is making a clear statement here to his church and to his followers that we, the church, are to attempt to stop the decay of the world. He says, you're the salt, and if anybody is going to stop the decay, the rotting of the world, it's going to be my church. That's what he means when he says, you people of God, you that will commit to follow me, are the salt of the earth. Dr. Tony Evans, in his book, God's Glorious Church, writes this: Jesus put his church here on earth to act as a preserving influence on a rotting world to slow down the decay of sin. End quote. And as someone else pointed out, salt cannot do its job when it's still sitting in the shaker. In other words, the church sitting in the house of God is salt sitting in the shaker. And it's easy to be salt sitting in the shaker. But salt does its enhancing when it goes out there. When we, the church, remain in the shaker, we'll never be the preservative to the decay and the rotting world that Tony Evans described around us. We must be influencing the societies in which we live by being salt out there. Dr. Evans also said this in his book: every local church must ask themselves whether its community is better, stronger, and spiritually healthier because the church is located here and being salt. Now, there is a salt catch, you may have noticed. If the salt has lost its flavor, are you still with me? If the salt has lost its saltiness, and if you're a biology or chemistry major, you'll say, well, that's impossible because it's made up of this property and made up of that property, and the property is always going to be there. Well, I could tell you a long story about that too, but I don't have time. His point is, at their time, some of their salt comes from marshes and low-lying areas, and in that would get diluted down. And when it got diluted down, it didn't have the effect. So here's the catch. If the church loses its saltiness, if the church loses its influence in the community, Jesus said, it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And so I ask us to ponder for a moment, friends, do you see the vitally important role of the church in society? Yes, in the 21st century also. If I and you look just like the world Monday through Saturday night in our activities, in our behavior, in our language, in our attitudes, if we look just like the world, we're not going to have any influence on nobody. Because they would say, well, you're just a hypocrite. You say something and you do something on Sunday morning, and Saturday night you look just like me. Salt is to preserve the decay of the world. That's what he said the church is. And if my behavior on Monday looks just like the world, my words on Sunday mean nothing. Are you with me? The church of Jesus Christ has a role to play in society. If the church isn't going to walk as Jesus walked and do what Jesus has called us to do, we have no preserving, stop the decay, stop the rust. We have no influence. If the church is going to allow the world, and you've heard me say this a lot of times, friends, We're going to have to choose. Am I really going to follow Jesus? And if I am I going to allow this to shape who I am? Because if I don't allow this to shape who I am, then the world will shape me and you and the church into its mold. And if the church is going to allow the world to mold us into its shape so that we look and act the same as the world, our voice, our saltiness will mean nothing. Do you see what I'm saying, friends? Excuse me. Dr. Evans put it this way. The church does not have to fall into gross sin to lose its influence. Think about that a minute. Sometimes the church does fall, and church leaders do fall into gross sin, but he's right. The church does not have to fall into gross sin to lose its influence. If we lose our saltiness, the culture in which we live is left without a righteous, preserving influence. That's all it takes. Not necessarily for Jim or the church or so the next leader or the next church person to fall into great sin, although that does happen. But even if we have lost our saltiness, we've stopped standing up for God. We've started looking like the world. And Dr. Evans says it this way, if we lose our saltiness, the culture in which we live is left without a righteous preserving influence. And I could speak a long time about one biblical character, just for an example, but I don't have time for that either. It's Lot. Think of Lot, raised with Abraham, groomed by Abraham, knew about God, and then moves down to the plains and pitches his tent at Sodom. And when God comes along sometimes later and says to Abraham, gonna go ahead and judge him. And Abraham, you know the story. Abraham says this, that, and the other thing. And he said, forgive me, Lord. If there's even 10 righteous, would you destroy it then? He said, no, I wouldn't destroy it then. Even if there was 10 left. My point is, Lot lost his saltiness. He had no influence on anybody. He couldn't even get his wife to come with him. Oh, she came, then she's too curious about what was going back there. She turned around and become a pillar of salt. He couldn't even get his son-in-laws to come with him. He lost his influence. That's what Jesus is saying. You, church, are the salt of the earth. And if there's ever going to be any slowing down of the decay and the rot in America and the world, it's going to have to be because the church is still salty for Jesus. Amen? The other thing he said is, you are the light of the world. Did you know that, brothers and sisters? A city, he's talking about people now, but he's giving him this very vivid example. A city that is set on a hill, you can't hide it. You can see that city for a long ways off. And he said, that's how my people should be. And he says, we should be people of God. We should be in everyday living, not for an hour or two on Sunday only, but in everyday living, we should be letting our light so shine that people can see there is a difference in you and me and the rest of the believers. And matter of fact, he says, you should be living in a way that people see you're different, see your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. That's how the church should be living. That's what Jesus said, by the way. That's not just what Jim said. That's what Jesus said. In Ephesians 5 and 8, the Apostle Paul reminds us the church has been saved out of the darkness And in John's gospel, we're reminded that Jesus came into the darkness and the darkness comprehended not. We've got this whole light-dark contrast thing. The world is dark, Jesus said. The Bible says that. And Jesus is the light. And we, his people, are to reflect the light. The light of Jesus in everyday living. You say, Jim, I don't know how. Language, attitudes, work ethic, behaviors, my actions towards my neighbor, my Facebook posts. Are we shining the light? Because Jesus said, that is what my people are called to be in this dark world. Why? So that people will see you got the light of Jesus in you and glorify your Father in heaven. That's why. We are not the light. He is the light. We are supposed to reflect his light. I'm telling us, brothers and sisters, I'm trying to hurry through this all. These are very, very important topics. And I'm trying to hit on the high points so we can give time for song and for CMA folks. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when we leave out of the church on Sundays, we should have a glow about us. Not because I need a pat on the back or you do, but because you're filled with the Son of God and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And when you head out into the darkness of the world, you should have a glow about you that people see is different. You say, Jim, I don't feel like glowing. Well, some days I don't either much. But Jesus said, my people who are madly in love with me, Jesus said, should light up the darkness of our world. And I don't feel some days like having much of a glow either. But that doesn't mean I'm going to slide back into the ways of the darkness. We have been redeemed by the light into the light. And when we step in out of the darkness and into the light, again, it is a brand new day. And we now should live in the light, like God has made a difference in us. We can go to work tomorrow. Some of you will punch the clock. Some of you will do this. Some of you will do that. And we can turn our light off. Matter of fact, there'll be people around you that might not even know you have a light in you. Jesus said, my people should be the light. And we should let our light so shine on Monday when we get back to work, or when we get back home and we got a neighbor that we just ain't getting along with, or we got a family member that we ain't even liking much, much less love. Jesus said you should so be the light that the world out there that hurts and is wrapped up in the darkness will see who you are in the light and give glory to God. That's why we are to be the light. Two more things. I'll be really quick. My time is already done. I want to give time to our... And I'm going to put somebody on the spot here for a moment. So forgive me ahead of time. Merv and Alice, forgive me ahead of time, but Merv and Alice Dixon are the light in their community. When a neighbor gets in an accident and loses his wife and the neighbor husband and the son are in the hospital for days and can do nothing, Merv and Alice are there praying with them. Even though they may not want to pray. Merv and Alice are the light in their community. And lots of the others are too. I don't have time to pat you all on the back today. But they are the light to people around them. When said neighbor has lost his wife and he's banged up and the son is all banged up and they don't have any a vehicle, then along comes the light and says, can I help you get here or there? That's being the light. When they don't have a Bible, can I give you a Bible? That's being the light. Can I pray for you? Can I invite somebody else to pray for you? That's being the light of Jesus. Thank you, brother and sister, for being the light. And a lot more of you too. Now let me just say this to close. I'm going to turn it over to Dale and Carla. Is your life, brothers and sisters, is your life doing anything to preserve the decay of America? Because that's what we are called to do. Tomorrow when we punch the clock and go to work, or next week or the next month, when we are doing whatever and we are wherever, are you doing anything to preserve the decay of this nation? And are we being light? Are we giving people an opportunity to give God glory because they have seen you at work? They have seen you handle a tough situation. They have seen you not flip your cork and curse like everybody else does, or laugh at the filthy jokes like everybody else does. They have seen you come alongside your neighbor and love them like we'll get to in some time in Matthew 5 and 6. Are you being the light? Because that's what Jesus has called us to do. Salt and light. Let's pray. God, our Father, we love you. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord Jesus, first and foremost, to be our Savior, to be our Lord. We need you, Holy Spirit, to be our comforter and guide. We need a fresh indwelling, a fresh filling of your Spirit in your church, O God. Revive us. Help us to be salt in our communities. Help us to be light to all those around us. Our heart's desire this morning is, Heavenly Father, to be like Jesus. Help us with that, I pray, to bring you glory, that a lost, dying, and hurting world will see the reflection of Jesus in your church and want to come and embrace Jesus Christ and receive him as Lord. Father God, go with us today and help us to be salt and light now and always for you, for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.